Well, what a beautiful sight to have so many come together to hear the ancient scriptures read, to sing out that we belong to Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful witness to our community. Our Easter weekend theme this year is He's Different. And we can't wait to tell you on Sunday all the ways Jesus is different, and especially the difference he is making in people's lives. And so a reminder, we will meet three different times on Sunday, 8:30, 10, 11:30, and hope you can join us at 1. But today's focus is purely on the cross, and my title today is The Difference of the Cross. And there's a purposeful double meaning in the title, which my points reflect, that the cross was different, the cross makes all the difference, and then the cross makes us different. The passage Ellie read from Isaiah 53, although in its historical context, was likely about exiled Israel, from very early on, it was also considered a prophecy about the Messiah, which is confirmed by the New Testament writers and Jesus himself, who all very clearly apply this passage to what Jesus did on the cross. And so it has become one of the most well-known and central passages in the Bible for talking about the significance of what Jesus did on the cross. And what he did was so different, so unexpected, that thousands of years later, we're still wrestling with the deep mystery and significance. And I hope it never loses its astounding power in our hearts at just how different the cross makes our God and our lives. So first, despite the prophecies that hint toward the kind of death that Jesus would die, the cross was different than what anyone was expecting from the Messiah. On the surface, Jesus' death on the cross was nothing special. In fact, it was the opposite. It was an embarrassment in ways. Listen to how Jesus is described. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by humankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, meaning he died a sinner's death. The Jesus of Isaiah 53 and of the cross was really nothing like we tend to visualize him as. He was certainly not a white, blue-eyed man with lovely long hair, as we often see him depicted. In fact, just FYI, all indications from the time period in Jesus' ancestry is that he would have been brown-skinned with short hair. But it's not just his physical appearance this text is talking about, but his status. It says he had no majesty that would attract us to him, meaning you would never think of this man as a king or especially as God in the flesh. And one of the main reasons is that a king would never die a death on a cross. A God would never suffer humiliation like that, or if he did, he would certainly shout to the heavens that he was being wronged and people would protest, right? And yet it says here, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. We're 2,000 years removed from the Roman practice of crucifixion on a cross, but you have to understand that no one or no movement would want to be associated with a person who died on the cross. It was a symbol of shame, ridicule, criminality, and disgrace reserved for the lowest of low in society. There was nothing honorable or heroic about dying on a cross. And that's why it says here in verse 3 that like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. So then why did Jesus choose, and yes, it was his choice, the kind of death, this humiliating death? There are so many reasons. The cross is so multi-layered, and the multi-dimensions of salvation are beyond what we can even comprehend. But at least part of the message of the cross is that God does things different than we expect, and he is not who or what you would expect. The cross, the most shameful way to die, was different because Jesus was different. Why would Jesus want to be associated with the cross? Because by doing so, he associates with all the pain and horrors of our sin and the sin of our world. And that's why the cross makes all the difference. We are responsible for the broken and sinful world we live in, and therefore we are responsible for Jesus' punishment on the cross. Although Jesus is different, in a lot of ways we couldn't be more different from Jesus. I mean, whereas Jesus had no beauty and no appeal in his appearance, we spend large portions of our life and money to create appeal for ourselves, whether through the jobs we have, the houses we own, the cars we drive, the followers we have. We spend countless time curating our appeal for the world to see and be impressed. Whereas Jesus was despised and rejected, we often mostly seek adulation and acceptance. Whereas Jesus was a man of suffering and pain, we tend to avoid suffering and pain at all costs. Whereas people hid their faces from Jesus and looked away, we often try to get as many as possible to look at us. Whereas Jesus was held in low esteem and associated with the lowly, we seek to be well known and esteemed and associate mostly with those who are like us. Unlike Jesus, we have so often chosen our possessions at the expense of the poor, our profits at the expense of peace for all. And just as people turned away their faces to Jesus, we have often turned away our faces from the needy among us, those who are not like us. And so what can be done? What says here that he took up our pain and bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. For we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, he was pierced for our love of the wrong things, crushed for our cruelty, punished for our posturing, wounded for our wandering, tortured for our turning away. And the list could go on, but you get the point. We have wronged God, and we are deserving of nothing but death and separation from God forever. There's a reason we strip and scale everything back on Good Friday. We dim the lights. There's no coffee or buzz in the lobby. No pageantry. The colors are black to remind us of the darkness and sadness of that day, and red to recall the pain and cost of the blood poured out for us at the Passion. I mean, even at our very best, Our condition is dark. So where does that leave us? Well, there's really only one response that can save us. Only one thing that can make a difference and change our desperate and sinful condition, and that is to throw ourselves completely on the mercy of God and boast in nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ. For verse 6 says, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He bore the sin of many." There's only one way to escape what we deserve, and that is to allow the cross to make us different. If you let it, this instrument of death can bring you everlasting life. The punishment Jesus took can bring you eternal peace with God. His suffering can bring you salvation. Like I said, nothing can really help us to fully grasp and understand the depth of what happened on that day. I can't and never will fully comprehend it. It is so different than anything we will ever know or experience. But although we cannot fathom the full mystery of the cross, we can choose to throw ourselves upon it in faith. Because the message of the cross is really more experienced than it is explained. When you've allowed Jesus to take up your pain, to bear your suffering, and most importantly, to take the weight of your sin, it is an unexplainable experience of pure joy.